Recently, I heard the story of a pastoral candidate who visited a church that was looking for a new pastor. He visited there unannounced and anonymously and attended a church service and a Sunday school class and walked through the hallways, and amidst all of that, unfortunately, was never welcomed nor greeted by anyone. Now, hearing that story kind of reminded me of my first Sunday as the pastor here at Wooddale. It was a cold, 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 cold winter day in January of 1977. Now, I had been here the previous Thanksgiving weekend, and at that time the church had extended a call to become the senior pastor of Wooddale, and in the month of December had moved here to Minnesota, and my first Sunday was that first Sunday in January of 77. And as I drove to church that morning, I had all kinds of anxiety, realizing that there were people that I didn't know and wondering what I was getting into, seriously concerned that I would find the building, wondering what would happen if I went to the wrong church. I mean, if you thought through all the implications of what that would mean. And I found the place, and at that time we used to have reserve parking for the staff, and so I parked out in the little lot on the side in the reserve place, and I walked in and walked downstairs and down the hallway, and again was just wondering what's going to happen along the way, who's going to say or do whatever. And as I was coming down the hallway, there were some people about where the prayer room is, and they were coming the other direction, and they looked at me and said, "Good morning, how are you?" And I lied a little bit. I said, "Fine. Good morning. How are you?" And that was it. And I walked up those couple of steps, you know, coming up this direction. And then I overheard behind me a rather loud whisper of realization that said, "I think that was our new pastor." Now, it's tough to be a stranger. You know that. It's hard to be a stranger and not know people's names and have them not know your name and not quite know what the fit is and not quite belong or be sure whether you belong or not. And it's tough to be neglected. It's tough to be ignored. And it's wonderful to be welcomed. And that is why the words of Hebrews 13:2 were written, saying, "Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares." Or maybe you're reading it in the Living Bible, so you've read the words, "Don't forget to be kind to strangers, for some of those who have done this have entertained angels without realizing it." Or maybe you have today's English version, and so you read it, "Remember to welcome strangers into your homes." There were some who did it, and welcomed angels without knowing it. And maybe you can already tell that this single verse has two parts to it. The first part is an exhortation to everyone, to all. And the second part is an encouragement for the reluctant. Let's take a look at it. The exhortation to everyone, to all, is, "Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers." Ancient hospitality was somewhat different than hospitality is today in our country. Travel in the first century was difficult, although dramatically improved by the Romans as they put in their road system, but still a hard thing. Highway robbers, they were common. And so if anyone went any distance from one place to another, there really was a likelihood of being robbed and assaulted, perhaps even murdered. There were some places to stay, called inns. But they were exorbitantly expensive. Their facilities were sometimes hopelessly inadequate. And they were notoriously immoral. Now, all of that presented significant problems for the advance of the gospel. There were evangelists and missionaries and apostles who sought to take the message of Jesus Christ across the empire. But they had the threat of being robbed, of beaten, of dying, of having inadequate finances for a place to stay, or having even their own reputation impugned by staying in the inns of those times. And so, they turned to homes. Turned to little churches, the branches of the Church of Jesus Christ that increasingly were populating the landscape all the way across the empire. and Christians were asked to open their homes as other Christians would travel, and as evangelists and missionaries and apostles and business persons would come across, they were asked to entertain them for meals and overnight and to provide a temporary home so that the gospel could advance. Now, there's some interesting verses that speak to this, and I'm going to sort of take you through them, and then we'll take a look at what they had to say. The first one, which I'd like you to look at with me, is really apparent. 2 John, that little epistle that's only a half page long, almost at the very end of the New Testament. Here a reminder to Christians who are going to do some hospitality that they must not be undiscerning. 2 John, which has only one chapter in it, verses 10 and 11 say, "If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine," it's the true doctrine of Jesus Christ, "do not receive him into the house or give him any greeting, for he who greets him shares his wicked work." Or let's take another look at Romans chapter 12, verse 13, which says, "Contribute to the needs of the saints, practice hospitality." One of the ways that we do things for other people is in the practice of hospitality. Let's take a look at Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10, and then only one more after that. Galatians 6:10. "So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all men, and especially to those who are of the household of faith." Everybody, even non-Christians, but especially to Christians. And finally, take a look with me in Matthew chapter 25, where verses 44 and 45 speak pretty much to the same issue. "Then they also will answer, 'Lord, when did we see you," Jesus, "when did we see you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison, and did not minister to thee?' And then he will answer them, 'Truly I say to you, as you did it not to one of the least of these, you did it not to me.'" Now maybe those verses don't seem to interconnect until we try to apply them to modern hospitality. Let's give it a try. Some principles. Number one is that hospitality, then and now, refers to strangers. The Greek word for hospitality that appears in Hebrews 13:2 is a word that is the combination from what we used this morning of philia, of love, and the word for stranger, xenos. So hospitality is the love of strangers, or the care of strangers. So technically, at least in biblical terminology, to invite a friend over for a pizza after church on a Sunday night is not hospitality, at least in the sense that's being discussed here in Hebrews 13:2. It needs to be someone that we don't know. It needs to be someone who initially, at least, is a stranger to us. Number two, that hospitality is commanded. This verse, Hebrews 13:2, and others, are not suggestions, are not options, but are imperatives, commandments, that this is explicitly what we are to do. So it's to strangers, and it's commanded. And number three, it's primarily to Christians, although others may be included. We read, for example, in Galatians 6:10, that it is an opportunity whenever it arises, but particularly to those of the household of faith. So that when a Christian moves to the Twin Cities, then we have a special responsibility to that Christian who is a stranger to us to extend a word of welcome, to open our homes for a place to stay, to entertain them, to feed them, to do whatever needs to be done. And a fourth teaching of these verses is that there must be no hospitality to heretics. So the hospitality is seen as a powerful tool in the advancement of the gospel, and we dare not give that tool to anyone who does anything that is contrary to the basic teaching of Scripture. It's inappropriate for us as Christians to give hospitality to the various cultists who come from door to door. We shouldn't feed them, we shouldn't entertain them, we shouldn't encourage them. In fact, if we take seriously and literally the words of 2 John, we shouldn't even talk to them. We shouldn't even greet them. Well, how do you do that, you say? Well, there was one lady who was reported to be perturbed by Jehovah's Witnesses who repeatedly came to her door and wondered if she could find a way to stop them from coming, and she shared the dilemma with a friend. And the friend said, well, you know, Jehovah's Witnesses, as one of their doctrines, refuse to salute the flag. I don't know if you realize that. That's not too much of a problem here in the United States, but it is a problem in many countries of the world where that's a requirement. And she said, well, what you need to do is you need to go to the store and buy an American flag and then just post it by your door. And when a stranger comes to the door, you say, before I talk to you, I insist that you salute the flag. And then if they won't salute the flag, you got the problem solved. So Slay says, yeah, it sounds a little wacko, but it may work. So she went to the store and bought a flag and put it by the door. And lo and behold, a week or so later, this lady came to the door and said, may I talk to you? He said, wait a minute, before I talk to anybody here, I insist, first of all, that you salute the flag. His lady turned to the flag and said, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible with liberty and justice and for all. And, you know, in all my years as an Avon lady, that is the first time that anyone has ever asked me to salute the flag. Well, the principles are simple. You're going to remember that and you're going to forget the principles, aren't you? The principles are simple. If we make a modern application as far as hospitality is concerned, it refers to strangers, it's commanded by Scripture, it is primarily, but not exclusively, to Christians, and there's to be no hospitality to heretics, to those who have teachings contrary to Scripture. Okay, how do we be really practical about that? We're Christians. We're committed to God. I mean, really, if you think of the whole population of the country or of the Twin Cities, those people who during a holiday week are going to come to church on a Sunday night have got to be listed amongst the most committed and serious of all as far as Christian teaching and practice is concerned. So that's us. And if that's us, then the practical application of it's got to go something like this. Of course, we need to welcome people to church. When visitors come from distant places, when visitors come from near neighborhoods, then we have a responsibility if we're to take seriously the command of Scripture to welcome them. Now, you know, a pastor can do that, or somebody up on the platform, or a greeter out in the hall, and all those are valuable things. But that doesn't carry anywhere near the weight of personal greeting and warmth that comes from someone whose job it isn't simply welcoming people. We need to be sensitive to strangers' needs. We need to think of things as they think of things. We need to help them with parking, or help them find a hymnal, or a bulletin, or classrooms, or restrooms, or whatever it is that person needs. Maybe it's somebody who's alone, and it's simply saying, would you like someone to sit with in church? Or can I give you directions to where we serve coffee between our Sunday school hour and our church hour? It includes opening our homes to guests, and particularly overnight guests, missionaries who are traveling through, people who are seeking to have a ministry, people who may be looking for work, who are fellow believers. Opening our home, that makes us highly vulnerable. And you can think of the multitude of problems that can come along, but they had a multitude of problems in the first century as well. And the exhortation still then was, do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers. Offer and entertain people. Can you imagine the impact? Not just of everybody. I mean, realistic enough to know that everybody isn't going to do that. Can you imagine 20 families in our church who would make a commitment that once a month in a period of a year, so 12 times, they would agree to either entertain people in their home or in a restaurant that they would meet at church? So you'd have 20 families times 12 months, 240 times that people would entertain strangers. Strangers, that's not people that we know or are friends with or have served on a committee with or taught Sunday school together with. No, somebody that's new. Someone that we meet at the door or during a service or someone that we understand to be new and we simply pick a name and a telephone number. You imagine the impact of that in a church? It would be fabulous, absolutely fantastic if just 20 families would do that. So it's an exhortation to all of us to do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers. But the other side of the verse is the encouragement for the reluctant. For thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Ancient angels, even in the first century, you know, people were reluctant to practice hospitality. I doubt they were a whole lot different than we are. They were concerned, they were worried, they had all kinds of questions because they too were afraid, because they too were shy. Because they, too, compared their homes with other people's homes and said they don't quite measure up. Or they, too, were broke. The budget was stretched enough already that there wasn't enough to adequately feed everyone who was there. How could you possibly spread it out a little bit thinner and have guests? And so God gave these special words to those who are reluctant. He gives an illustration that comes from the Old Testament. And we're going to take just a minute to read it. Let's go all the way back to Genesis chapter 18 and read one of several stories in the Bible of entertaining angels unawares. It's the story of Abraham, to whom the Lord appeared by the oaks of Mamre, as he sat at the door of his tent in the heat of the day. He lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, three men stood in front of him. When he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them and bowed himself to the earth. And he said, "My Lord, if I have found favor in your sight, do not pass by your servant. Let a little water be brought and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree. And do all this while I fetch a morsel of bread that you may refresh yourselves. And after that you may pass on since you have come to your servant." And so they said, "Do as you have said." And Abraham hastened into the tent to Sarah and said, "Make ready quickly 3 measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes." And Abraham ran to the herd and took a calf, tender and good, and gave it to the servant who hastened to prepare it. And then he took curds and milk and the calf which he had prepared and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree while they ate. Now as the story continues, we begin to discover that those whom Abraham entertained were heaven-sent. Were angels, perhaps a special appearance of God himself. You say, "Hey, if I knew that an angel were coming to my house, I'd tell my wife to prepare something for the angels to eat just as Abraham did. And I would go to my servants and suggest that they kill one of my calves and provide a marvelous meal, and I would just be delighted to welcome them if I knew they were angels." But of course, when he did all these things, Abraham didn't know they were angels. As far as he knew, they were just ordinary Arabs. People with whom he and his people had difficulty getting along. But the truth of it was that they were angels in disguise. Strangers whom, if he had not entertained, he would have missed out on one of the greatest blessings of his life. So the principle is simple, that you never know who you're entertaining. That it may be an angel. That it may even be the Lord himself. Imagine if Abraham had been inhospitable. Imagine if he had not spoken a word. Imagine if he had not opened his home. Imagine if he had not provided a meal. Imagine if he had missed the opportunity of entertaining the guests whom God had sent. Do we have modern angels today? Do I really think that it is likely that in Richfield or Bloomington or Minneapolis or St. Paul or Edina or any of the suburbs hereabouts, that we are really likely to have some angels come around? Do we think that the hitchhiker on the way home tonight, or the telephone call person that rings us up today, or the person with the flat tire, or the individual that we meet at church tonight or the church this morning, is really an angel? In disguise, you know, had a suit jacket on, but wings compressed and tucked inside and kind of disguised. Really an angel there to see. The Bible plays an interesting little trick on us here in Hebrews 13:2. Because when it uses the word angel, it uses, of course, the Greek word angel, which is almost exactly the same as the English word angel. It's angelos or angelos. In English, it's A-N-G-E-L-O-S. Just take the O-S ending off, and you've got angel written right there as you transliterate it into our alphabet. Now, angel means angel, as we think of it, but angel also is the Greek word for messenger. A messenger from God. And that's exactly what's being talked about. For thereby some have entertained messengers from God unawares. So that Hebrews 13:2 is not God's teaching that we should have every stranger into our home or take every stranger out to a restaurant, somehow hoping on an outside chance that one of them may unfold wings and be a heaven-sent being that has angelic characteristics. But it is teaching that if we obey God's commandment and do things his way, that those whom we entertain and to whom we show hospitality may turn out to be God's messengers into our lives, to bring a far greater blessing than ever we possibly could have received if we had passed by the opportunity. Years ago, Charlene and I were invited to an old farmhouse for Sunday dinner. The meal was fabulous. But an interesting thing happened. Throughout the entire meal, and it was a lengthy one, I think we sat at the table for hours, most of Sunday afternoon. Throughout the entire meal, our hostess relived an experience that had happened to her, I would estimate, some 20 or 30 years earlier. She told in unbelievable detail, with incredible memory, how she and her husband, who then lived on a different farm out in rural Colorado, had picked up two young men who were wayfarers and had brought them to their home. She knew their names still all these years later. She described what they wore. She knew the date. She knew the time of day. She knew every detail. It was that vivid an experience. She explained all the things they did, all the kindnesses that they bestowed, all the promises that they made, that they would stay in touch, that a special friendship had been built over those couple of days of hospitality. I think there may have been some money lent that was to be repaid, although that was not a significant factor. There were to be letters of correspondence and perhaps future visits, and all of these promises were made, and they were promises that were never kept. And so this dear lady and her husband harbored a hurt for 3 decades. A hurt because once they had tried hospitality, and things hadn't come out as they had hoped. The gratitude that they had anticipated was not forthcoming. And as a result of their unpleasant experience with 2 slightly ungrateful strangers, they never again, for the rest of their lives, dared to try hospitality. And they made a point of it. Made a point that they had never again allowed strangers into their homes. And made a point, if anyone was hurting along the wayside, or anyone came to church that they didn't know, or anything of the kind, that never would they open their homes again. Because they'd had a bad experience. Now, I'd say that it was precisely for people like that, that farm couple, that God included the second half of Hebrews 13:2. Words of encouragement. Words of encouragement for shy people, for simple people, for burned people, disappointed people. People like us all who need to be encouraged. The reminder from God that when we extend that hospitality as commanded in Jesus' name, that we have the opportunity to be far more the recipients of God's blessing than the givers of bed and breakfast. For thereby some have entertained angels unawares. You know, starting in just about 3 weeks, all of us at Wooddale Church are going to have perhaps an unprecedented opportunity to practice the exhortation and experience the encouragement of Hebrews 13:2. I don't know exactly what to expect as our church relocates. I do know that I have heard what now must amount to hundreds of direct and indirect comments from people who say, you know, we want to visit your church when you move out to that new site. People who have told me that it's been a conversation point with their fellow workers, with their neighbors, friends, and relatives. I know that included on the list is our own neighbors, who not at our invitation, but at their initiation, have come to us and asked us all about it and said, you know, we want to come. We want to come visit your church and see your new building. They came one other time. Came when we had the Chariots of Fire film here a couple of years ago. They said, we'd like to come again. My neighbors, your neighbors, I anticipate scores. To tell you the truth, I anticipate hundreds. And we will then have the opportunity to do what Scripture here commands us to do. And the commandment of Scripture, the incredible opportunity that we have, is what God has specifically told us. Do not neglect to show hospitality to these strangers, for thereby some may entertain angels unawares. Let's do it. Shall we stand and pray? Sometimes, Lord, when we open the Bible, we come across things that we just don't understand. And every one of us that has read through your book has had verses and chapters and even pages of names that we couldn't pronounce and teachings that we couldn't explain. Hard things, difficult things. And so we have Sunday school classes and we have colleges and seminaries to explain all of the difficulties of Scripture. But then there's the simple stuff, the things that we do understand. And here we have one tonight. The forthright and clear teaching of Scripture that not one of us can say is beyond our comprehension. In fact, not one of us can say that doesn't include me. So, Lord, we'll take it seriously. And with the help of your Spirit, we will obediently promise to do what you've asked us to do, to show hospitality to strangers. And Lord, I pray that for many here in our fellowship and for our whole church, that we may discover that many of those strangers whom you send our way with special opportunity to enjoy our hospitality may be messengers from heaven, angels whom we entertain unawares. Thank you for the opportunity, and may we take it joyfully for the glory of your Son. In his name, amen.